Patton. I am with the Indianola Independent Advocate. I'd like to thank all of the candidates for the Indianola School Board for being out here tonight and talking to us about their ideas and their goals for the Indianola School District. Thank you also to the Indianola Parent Teacher Organization at Emerson, at Irving, at Whittier, and at Wilder for their help organizing this event tonight, and to the Indianola Country Club for donating the space for this event. Just a reminder, voters will cast their ballots on Tuesday, November 5th for both the school board and Indianola City Council. We have 7 candidates here tonight, and voters can only vote for 4. Early voting is now available at the Warren County Auditor's Office for anyone who would like to go and do that after tonight's forum. So tonight, each candidate has received 1 question via email. Our opening question tonight will be a 2-minute response to that question. Candidates are seated in alphabetical order and will respond to the first question in that order, with Kim Gibson going first, and then followed by Rob and Donna and et cetera. Subsequently, candidates will have 1 minute to respond to each question, and we'll rotate the candidate who responds first. So Rob will answer the second question first, and we'll go down the line from there. We will wrap up with 1 minute closing statements by each candidate. We intend for everyone to get out of here as close to 8 p.m. as possible, so we'll go ahead and get started. The first question is, communities and school districts are often described as having an identity. What should Indianola's identity be, and what would you do as a board member to help and create support that identity?
Hi, I'm Kim Gibson. I'm a 90s graduate at Indianola. I'll answer the first question. I think that we all know that Indianola is growing, and some of us may be more positive about that than others. I think as we continue to grow, the people who come here will not necessarily be people that we know or people just like us. So I think that we need to nurture a comfortable environment and a welcoming environment. As I think about the way that a kindergarten teacher or a sixth grade teacher approaches how they bring people from different backgrounds, the kindergarten teacher bringing kids from home who may not know each other at all, and the sixth grade teacher is bringing in 4 different styles of elementary kids. I think we'd all agree that each elementary has its own style. They bring those students together and they teach them how to move down the road together. First of all, they make it easy. They have plans ahead. Here's where you're going to go. Here's what you need to do. Here's where we will carry out these things together. Second, they're checking in on their individual health. So do you have a locker that's the right height? Or do you know where your lunch ticket is? Those things that seem really basic when we're together in a new environment, we forget. So I think that if we can all welcome new people to the community together, the same thing will be happening at the schools.
Are we standing for these? All right. Good evening. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Rob Keller. I am a dad of a 7th grader over at the middle school. And yeah, I'd like to thank the local PTOs for putting on the forum this evening, and thank the Indianola Independent Advocate for moderating the event. You know, we as a Indianola Community School District, we already have an incredible vision or an identity, and it's proud traditions and unlimited possibilities. And it's an incredible one. I grew up here in Indianola. I was a 1998 graduate, a proud graduate of 1998. My wife and I, we decided to bring up our son here in this community, and a large reason why was because of our local schools. Indianola, as a community and as a town, it has many proud traditions, and both our community and our school district has those proud traditions, and they've done an incredible job of actually upholding all of those traditions. However, the current vision just doesn't stop at proud traditions, but goes on and says unlimited possibilities. And in between those two phrases are 3 dots. And I'd like to think this evening that we sit at the very last dot, ready to explode into some unlimited possibilities. As a father, as a business owner, and as a community member, I really think there are some key issues that I've explored and that I will focus on as a school board member to try to help in our Indianola Community School District. Those four areas are school safety, student success, teacher support, and community involvement. And I really look forward to the unlimited possibilities that lie ahead of us.
Hi, I'm Donna Kramer. I am also a graduate of Indianola, a little sooner than Bob. My children graduated from here, and actually I have six grandchildren here. Well, three of them graduated, so anyway. I would like the identity of the Indianola School Public Schools to be one of a caring community with expectations of high performance from all of our students. And I really think that in order to do this, we need to foster an atmosphere of listening where all of the stakeholders in this community have the opportunity to be heard, whether they are the bus drivers, the associates, the teachers, the administration, the community members. Everyone deserves a seat at the table in this district. And I would like to help foster that, possibly by creating some possibly community forums, some interest groups, put out some surveys, because I really want to know what are the important issues in this community. What do you really want to see in your schools, and what do you think we can do to help make them better? We already have great teachers, we have a good administration, we have lots of positive things going, but we can always be better, and I would just like us to focus on that. So that's it.
All right, well, first of all, I want to thank everybody for coming out. I want to thank the parents for being here. I want to thank the teachers for being here and the community members. Because you're here, that is encouraging to me, and it means it's important to you because it's important to me too. We already have an identity in this community. We have an identity of strength and pride, and it's been built collaboratively by everybody in this room through years and years of community engagement. And I think it's important. We all want the same things. We want strong schools. We want safe schools. We want high student achievement. We all want the same thing. And collaboratively, we've created a really good identity in Indianola. The things we can improve upon, there's always things we can improve upon, but we have a really strong identity. How we need to strengthen that identity is we need people on the school board that are invested and engaged in this community and the school district. I have a really unique, diverse background that allows me to have the viewpoint from a lot of different, very important stakeholders in our community. I think that's very important to have on the school board. I have a degree in elementary education. I know what it's like to put together a lesson plan and a portfolio. My great-grandmother was a teacher. She taught in a one-room schoolhouse. Both my mother-in-law and father-in-law are teachers. My wife is a teacher. I understand teachers. I appreciate what you do. I understand how much you give of yourself to make sure your students succeed. I understand that viewpoint. I respect you guys. At the viewpoint of a parent, I have two students in elementary school. I understand what it's like. I know what the curriculum is. I know what they're learning. I'm inside the schools. I see their teachers working. I volunteer there. I'm a part of the PTO. I even went and played kickball with the kids today, and I struck a few kids out. It was really good. I get it. I know the stress on homecoming week, whether or not you're supposed to send your kid to school with pajamas, a polka dot shirt, or a purple shirt. I get it. I get that viewpoint. I also have the viewpoint of an engaged community member, and I think that's important. Strong communities and strong schools go hand in hand. My family is very engaged in this community. My wife has volunteered on numerous boards. I volunteer on numerous boards. I've coached youth sports in this town for several years. I've coached hundreds of kids in this town, and it's very important to me. I believe in kids. That's why I'm running for the school board, and I want to help strengthen our already well-established identity of strength and pride. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Kevin Schlummer. I've been a public educator for 17 years. 7 years of that time was working here in Indianola. And so for the better part of about 9 years, I've been thinking about that question because that was a driving force of what I did every day when I went to work. I wanted Indianola to be the place where people would come and say, what's going on there? We want to send our teachers there. We want to go learn what they're doing because it's a place where success just happens. And so that's my vision for what the identity of Indianola would be. It would be a place where people would know when they go there, they're going to be successful. And so what does that look like for kids? I think it looks like, where are they going after they graduate? Are we focusing on post-secondary preparation and making sure that our kids have a plan when they leave and they're able to accomplish that plan? We know that around the state, little less than half of our graduates will complete a degree within 6 years or a workplace credential. And so we can focus on that. We can improve the odds for the kids who go to Indianola, so parents know if they move here, their kids will be successful. And it also looks like success for teachers as well. So are we giving voice to our teachers? Are we making sure that they're invited to be a part of the solutions that we are working on for our school district every day? And are we having an opportunity for everyone to feel like their voice is heard at the table? A big thing for me, my mom was an associate for Norwalk Schools for years. I listened to her come home and tell stories that only she knew about kids that she had gotten to graduate because of the work that she had done in their lives. Those weren't stories that made the news, they never made it to the board table, but she made an impact for those kids. And so I want everyone, students, our staff, our administrators, our teachers, to know that when you come to work every day, you make an impact, you make a difference, and we're gonna change the future for kids. And I think if that gets out, man, people will be rushing all over themselves down 65, 69 to get here, because we know what's here, but we can build that for others as well.
I'm kind of stuck here. Okay. My name is Carrie Ann Voigt. I have two children that one had graduated last May and another that is a sophomore in high school. So they've been in the Indianola district their entire school time. I have also had the advantage of being on the board the past 4 years, and I've taken a time to learn a lot, and there's still a lot to be learned. But this question of identity is in flux. We're changing, the community's changing, we're trying to make decisions about not only the people that live here now, but the people that we would like to attract here. And so we are trying to make priorities and goals for our current students, and the investment that we need to make is also for the future students. And so that's where I see the focus of the school and the board, and hopefully that we can create a community of collaboration to be able to do that, so that all the stakeholders, administration, teachers, staff, parents, community members who don't have any kids in the schools can all have a part and bring information and create the best community and school district that we can for the kids now and for the future. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sue Wilson, and I have two girls that attend Irving Elementary. I am not even an Iowa girl, I'm a Minnesota transplant. Thank you, right? So if my O's get weird, that's why. But we came to Indianola in 2005 and fell in love with it in the first 6 months, and we are still here and so thankful for that. So what I think a part of our identity is, first of all, thanking everybody in this room, because you are all part of the identity that we have. And the biggest part of it, and the identity that I would love us to work towards, is an identity of united force. And it's the same thing we ask our kids to do when they go out and they are in FFA or with band or music or sports or wherever it may be. They come together as a team for a common goal. And I think that is the same way that we want our community and our school district to work. And if that happens, we have to get back to the basics. I think we need to look at trust. I think we need to look at transparency. And I think we need to look at relationships. And so one thing I would love to do if elected, within the school board, there's different committees that everyone sits on. I would love to create a relational committee. And this committee would be just the ones that are in, get into the community and get into our schools. These would be the board members that kind of become the face to help the teachers, go in and sit down with the teachers, go in and sit down with the counselors, the associates, go down to the bus barn, get down to the cafeterias, learn and see what, where we can improve and how we can improve and how we can start building relationships with each other. Because I think when relationships and trust are our identity, we can have really hard conversations and really move forward to unlimited possibilities.
Okay, thank you, candidates. I think the rules from here on out are you have 1 minute to answer a question, so slightly faster round this time. The next question. The Indianola School District and the Indianola Education Association, which represents teachers, had a contentious negotiation period this year. Now the association has chosen to endorse three candidates. Remember, you can vote for four. All of those association endorsed are former teachers or the spouse of a teacher. What do you think of the union, and what should the relationship between the district and the union be moving forward?
All right, the first difficult question. You know, I didn't know and understand a lot of that when I started on this journey about the union. And I now realize that there's a lot of stakeholders in our district. There's the teachers union. There's also a group called that represent PEI. And then there's another third group that has no affiliation. And what I've noticed in talking to the teachers, because I've been out and I've been talking to teachers and I've been out talking in the community, and what I've noticed is that there's some communication struggles between the two of them. I would like to see those groups to get together and work together and meet with the administration. Last August was supposed to, according to the contract, should have been the time that they started negotiations, and I would hope by then all of these adults could sit together and work things out. I know we do it in the business world, and you guys do it in your homes, you do it everywhere. So I really hope that everybody could sit together as adults and get things worked out together.
Well, I was a member of the union, so when I taught here, so obviously I believe in most of the things that they do, and the union protects the rights of many of the teachers in this district, and it also lays out the salaries and health insurance, all kinds of things that deal with the way people are treated in this district. And so when you don't listen to your teaching staff, when you are only ruling from a position of authority and don't involve everyone, I agree with Rob, everyone should be in on it. Every teacher, every union member, whether you're IEA, any of the others, the communication piece needs to be improved in this district tremendously in order for the staff to feel valued, the students to feel valued, and just the community members.
Well, to go back to the original question, I don't think I was endorsed because I know some teachers. I think I was endorsed from what I said in my interview. And I support teachers wholeheartedly. I understand Chapter 20 because I'm a part of a labor union myself, and I understand the importance of having the safety and security, of understanding your basic working conditions and rights. It's important. It's worked for years. In fact, it was introduced by a Republican-governed, a Republican-controlled legislature. So, anybody can disagree with me if they want, but I support our teachers. I wholeheartedly support our teachers' union. Our teachers are the backbone of this community. Raise your hand if you believe in the kids in our schools. Raise your hand. Then you should all believe in the teachers, because nobody has more impact on our kids than our teachers. It all boils down to this. I have a good friend that's an assistant superintendent at a school district here in Iowa. Their school settled their union contract in less than 2 hours. And he said it all boils down to this. It boils down to intent. What is your intent? Is your intent to treat your employees with respect? That's your intent. There's nothing you need to change.
I brought with me, this is 18 pages single-spaced that I wrote and sent for my interview to the Indianola Education Association. So I believe the endorsement that I earned is based upon my background in education. I know the issues. I'm well aware of what's happening in education statewide, regionally, in our district. It's what I've done for 17 years. It's my passion. It's what drives me. I think if you look at what happened, you have to think, where are we in alignment? And we are in alignment in so many more places with our teachers. I don't care if it's PEI, ISEA, anybody who's not aligned, teachers want to make a difference for kids. The only thing they ask for is fair working conditions. And not every school district in Iowa made the move to try to take out all of the permissive language. And in the schools that did, you saw a very similar result statewide. And those districts that didn't, Iowa City was one of them, they said, we're gonna leave in everything we can. We're not gonna change anything that legally we don't have to. Because we respect our teachers, we think that shows a level of trust in them. And so I think, you know, let's look for where we're in agreement, because it's a lot more than we might think.
So obviously I'm in a slightly different position because I was in the middle of those negotiations, and I can vouch for the fact that they were contentious, and I can also vouch for the fact that the board worked absolutely very hard to talk through what we were doing, where we were going, and looking at the evolving landscape of contract negotiations. We were accused of not trusting the teachers. We were accused of not respecting the teachers, and it hurt. I didn't choose to be on the school board to be publicly chastised, but I was. We work as a board, as seven individuals, and each of us had our own ideas, and we all came together and discussed things. And we were coming from a place of trust. We wanted to work together, create an environment that the teachers were gonna cut in, and we could work forward with this. So I'm hopeful that we can be working together in the future. Thank you.
My bottom line is that the teachers have to be at the table when we have discussions. We need their input, we need their eyes, we need their ears. We need to know what is happening in their classrooms. Our teachers have the triple S. They're stewards of service and sacrifice. And they go to bat for our kids. They spend more time every day with my own children than I do, right? They have more influence over children than their parents do because they're with them more. And in that comes the complete sacrifice that they give. A lot of our teachers use money out of their own pockets to make ends meet in the classroom and for the students. So teachers are the reason why we're all here right now. They build our community, and they're molding our future. They're molding our future leaders to come up here and in 35, 40 years, continue to build Indianola into the school district that it will be.
Well, I'm also one that did not get recommended by the teachers union, and that is because I am not fully ready. And I don't claim to be fully ready on every single subject that exists. But I know that I'm a quick learner, and I know that I'm a listener. And I'm thankful that the teachers union invited me in to share what their issues were and what they were most passionate about. And I'm fully supportive of their right to work together as a union.
So current board members might have to get a little creative with their answers to this next question, but how many meetings have you attended in the last 6 months, and what issues brought you to those meetings, and how did that impact your decision to run for school board?
Well, I don't think I can probably claim that I've been to many meetings in the last couple months. So what did you say, six? So anyway, probably just one or two. But I've been to many school board meetings over the years for many, many different reasons. And part of the reason I don't go is because I have other commitment on Monday nights. But anyway, I won't have that anymore. But when I went in February and I spoke at that meeting, and I felt like I just really needed to be an advocate not only for the teaching staff, but for the kids in this community. We have class sizes that are too big. We have kids practically on top of each other in some of our classrooms that I've been in. And I've just always had a passion for children and for teaching. And I've been retired 8 years, and I was just trying to think of a way that I thought it could make the biggest difference, and this was it.
I've been through a handful of meetings within the last 6 months. Mostly I'm just going so I am informed what's going on in the school. Nothing in particular. I go because I'm interested in what happens. Some things I think that should happen that are very important in our school right now is class size. Class size is important. Some other things that I think that is important right now is mental health. I hope we get some more time to talk about mental health. I'll go ahead and call it. We have a mental health crisis on our hands. I see it in my job. I'm in law enforcement. We have a mental health crisis in this country. It's in our schools too. I've been to a school meeting where we introduced the SRO. Rob did a lot of work on getting the SRO. School safety is important to me. I've proudly served the citizens of this Iowa in law enforcement for 15 years as a special agent and a state trooper with the state. I also have very specific training related to school safety. I train police, EMS, fire on how to handle active threats. I train citizens and civilians and teachers on how to handle active threats. I'm a trainer in Stop the Bleed. The SRO is a great step, but there's a lot more that we need to do. So I go to those meetings in hopes that in the future we're going to talk about class size, we're going to talk about mental health, and we're going to talk about school safety.
I haven't honestly kept a track. I'm guessing between maybe 6 meetings in the last 6 months at the board. But I've been going to board meetings, like Donna said, for 17 years. So this is not the only place. I've worked in Ankeny, worked in a lot. Board meetings are a part of what you do when you're a teacher. And the last couple of years, my desk was in the boardroom behind a filing cabinet. So I suppose you could say I kind of lurked in on the board committee meetings. I was just there around the corner. So there's some there too, maybe I've encountered. But what motivates me, I want to see Indianola be the best it can be. I worked with teachers in this district back in the days when we had No Child Left Behind. Our Wilder teachers pulled themselves off of the CINAH list by the sheer work that they did. And our district, people were asking, what's going on in Indianola? It's a great, what are you doing down there? Good stuff is happening. And in the last couple of years, I think we've just kind of started to level off a little bit. Nothing's burning, nothing's bad, but we can take that next step and become even better. And that's what motivates me, going from good to even better.
I've been to a lot of meetings. I would like to commend all of the candidates for the meetings that they have attended. There is a lot to learn, and just the day-to-day stuff. Over the course of the 4 years, I've been on all of the committees, and the committees meet once a month. The full board meets twice a month. In the years that I was vice president or president, there was a lot of communication and budget discussions and various things that might happen. So it is a time commitment, and I commend the fact that there's 6 others up here who are willing to commit to that time frame, and I would be happy to serve with any of you. Thank you.
I'm like the rest of the candidates that don't know exactly the number. I did speak in front of the board for the resource on behalf of Rob and his team. I spoke in front of the board urging us to get our school resource officer. I don't even remember what month that was, but it was a while ago, but it got done, so that was awesome. And I've done a lot of conversations with board members speaking. I am the executive director of the Helping Hand here, and really working at getting the families in our school district taken care of, whether it's medical insurance, clothing, food, everything like that. Like Ben said, there's a huge, I have a huge heart for mental health, and so I've had several conversations with the school counselors, the nursing department, the return to learn policy that has been implemented. And so the board meetings, you learn a ton, but I've learned so much in the individual conversations that I've had with our board members and our staff and teachers and employees of Indianola.
I have attended several of the board meetings. I started about 5 or 6 years ago, just occasionally, and I went with the sole interest that I knew people that wanted the ag department to be removed, and I didn't agree with that. And the more that I went, the more I realized everybody needs a voice. In the meantime, I have attended more and more. I've spoken on career and technical education, or it used to be called vocational education. I have spoken on class size. I've talked about the removal of the transitional kindergarten and the way that that has affected my own family. I will continue to go to board meetings regardless, and I think there are some people in the community that know that as well, because they're calling me and saying, will you come and support me on this other thing that I want to talk about.
Over the past few years, I've been to a few different meetings, and in the last 6 months, I've been to probably a half dozen, 7 or 8 meetings. What really got me engaged was in the spring of 2018 when I was the PTO president over at Irving. The Parkland shooting happened in Florida, and many parents came to me and said, what do we have going on at our schools? What's missing? We investigated that. We invited Officer Hawkins in and my brother from the police department, and we found out that there's some things missing. School safety is my number one priority for running. I want to make sure that our schools are safe for our students, for our teachers, and our staff members. We live in a different world than we did when all of us were growing up. And like Ben said, there is a mental health crisis going on. Our counselors are maxed out. What they should be working on, just normal cases and working with students to help them in the classroom get to graduation, they're having to deal with some incredible problems that these kids are coming in. Their brains are overloaded, these poor kids. And so school safety is the number one. That's what got me involved.
Name one decision you liked or disliked that the school board has made recently. What did you like about it, or how would you handle it differently?
Well, I'll stick with a popular topic. I disliked what happened in February with our teachers. I think it's simple. It boils down to what's your intent. That law worked for years, and I realized that some things had to be taken out of it, but the things that were allowed in it, I'm a part of a labor union. My labor union, it took us about an hour to negotiate. We negotiate with the state, with the governor's office. They respect us, we respect them. There wasn't much of a back and forth. So it all boils down to that. We can all agree we care about kids. If we can all agree on that, then the next step is we can all agree we care about our teachers. We need to take care of our teachers. And I think our community spoke very loud and clear. I think on the board, you need to represent the values and beliefs of our community. And I think our community spoke very loudly and clearly how we feel about our teachers.
Within the last 6 months, there's been some discussion at the board level about adding some different positions in the school district at the administrative level as far as human resources are concerned. That discussion was then kind of set aside and tabled for a while, but I think it warrants further investigation because I think it would behoove us to look more comprehensively at the structure of administration that we have within our district. There are many other needs that we have as well. If you look at the teaching and learning side of things and what is now required of schools that was not required 10 years ago, it's just increased exponentially. And so we are behind the pace of other school districts our size within our area as far as staffing of the teaching and learning department. So, but there's only so much money, so there are competing priorities. So I think before positions are added, it's worthwhile to take a comprehensive look at the whole picture and then think as we project forward with growth and in student enrollment, which in the board minutes is about 3.6%, they think, going into the future. Let's plan thoughtfully going forward about how we're gonna meet the needs of kids, teachers, and everyone.
Over the course of my time on the board, we obviously look at the budget each year and have to decide where the money gets spent. And the curriculum needs in my early years on the board were really getting shortchanged. We weren't able to keep up with new textbooks, and things were just changing into more of the electronic formats. And as we worked over the course of the past year with the business officer and the other administration, we've been able to put those curriculum needs on a schedule that we have planned for, and the money will be there for them, and everything is in a cycle that will be replaced as needed. And so that was something that I was really proud that we were making that a priority and able to make that happen. And we will continue to be able to make that happen as we move forward.
In the last couple board meetings that I've attended, I've learned a lot about our associates here. And I recently found out that our associates have to use their own cell phone to text or email the teachers that they're working with. And so I know some things have been brought to the board about, I'm not a computer girl, so what are those books? Chromebooks. Chromebooks, about Chromebooks or just getting them some computers. And so I've had a chance to go out into the community and talk to several associates. And my one thing I would really like to see is to really look at their work conditions and what they go through and how much they communicate, and look at their hours and look at expanding their hours, but then giving them tools to be successful with these students. Because if you take tools away from them, they can't be successful and our students can't be successful.
If I'm elected to the board, one of the committees I want to participate in is the financial committee. And that, I think, highlights my interest and the examples I want to use today. These are not huge examples, but I have two recent examples. One being spending of about $50,000 on landscaping of the new administration building, and another approximately, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, $13,000 for the video systems that will be going into the new administration building. Those were both additions at the end, and those were, I think, expenses we could have solved another way. I think if we did a needs assessment on the building in the beginning, we could have found more solutions. Like, we could have had the agriculture students in the horticulture class do the landscaping and learn at the same time. Maybe also a phone system that could be a two-way communication in the boardroom, so people could call in and voice their opinions would have been a better choice.
Best decision that was made was the hiring of the school resource officer, Officer Hackett. He's done an incredible job in our school. He's actively worked on developing relationships inside the high school and the middle school. And he's done an incredible job. I would challenge all of you guys to go over and spend a few minutes, 15 minutes walking around with him and see what he does on a daily basis and how he's impacting our students. What I would like to see something done better, going back to what Sue had said, echoing that with the associates and not having a way to be able to work with their students. Remember when we were all in school, we had textbooks. Students don't have textbooks anymore. They have Chromebooks. Those associates used to have textbooks that they were able to look at with their students. They no longer have that access. I leaned forward and asked the associate, I said, how many of these do you guys need? And she told me, and I just thought, if only somebody from the board would actively ask that question. So that was something.
Well, Ben's already spoken to the contract issues back in February, so I will just echo that. But also, I signed a petition online about hiring another FFA person in this district, and I know that the FFA classes were quite large, and there is a huge interest, not just in FFA, but in programs that could maybe be put under that umbrella. In Jefferson, Iowa, and also in Pella right now, they're calling them career academies, and they're offering all kinds of programs for kids that maybe aren't the traditional go-to-college kids, but there are also a lot of high-tech opportunities for them. There are culinary opportunities for if they want to go to culinary school. There are, if you want to become a woodworker or, you know, just a lot of jobs like that. And I think that Indianola needs to be much more innovative in the programs that they're looking at and the ways they're all kids aren't going to go to college, and we just need to find some other ways to help serve them. Thanks.
Okay, sneak in two more questions here yet. The next question, Indianola is one of the leading school districts in the state in offering an online curriculum. What concerns or benefits, if any, do you see in online education, and what would you do as a board member to address them?
I applaud Indianola for taking that step because it really is an innovative step forward. We look at open enrollment and students have the ability to move around in ways that they never have before, having that online option is just another way to bring students into our district. But it allows us to support our kids within the district too that are here physically, providing other options, other course opportunities, things that they might not otherwise get to have. I think the challenge is how do you maintain that relational aspect? Because it's a different type of an environment. I teach in a mixed online platform and in-person platform for Viterbo. I love those in-person days because that's when we get to connect. And I get to see people, I get to work with them, I get to support them and build a relationship. Versus if it was all online, that's much more difficult to do. And so I think we have to remember that human component and think, how are we going to match, you know, getting to know kids and building a relationship, because that's so important. Research will tell us that with the online instructional piece.
Watching this grow has been a wonderful opportunity. I just want to give a shout out to Kim Grissom and Ali Sauter. They have done an amazing job guiding the other teachers who are learning and developing these programs, and it has been wonderful to watch them. It is a work in progress, and we've tried to be intentional about how we bring different classes on board. We're working diligently to make sure that we're providing our students what we need first before we try to invite everybody from the state. And the advantages of the online opportunities are that we can serve students that might be on one end or other of the spectrum. Maybe we've got talented and gifted students that really are interested in a certain element that is just not being served in the classroom. Same thing on the other end. And we can give students a little bit more individualized opportunities. So I see that as the advantage.
To be completely transparent, we looked at Iowa Connections Academy for my kids. We went and met with their curriculum director, the online program, when we were looking at transition of the schools. And so the biggest thing that I think that Indianola with the online curriculum, I also, like Kevin, teach Drake University and Simpson College on their online programs. But the biggest thing that it has shown to be helpful with is also those with mental health. Because it can take them out of the classroom if their anxiety, if their stress, if their depression goes one way or the other. I'm the vice president of the Governor's Advisory Council for Traumatic Brain Injuries, and Governor Reynolds just passed our screening tool that we created in the last couple months, a screening tool to measure mental health. So a lot of in that survey, we talked about removing the kids into a quieter place where they can still get an education, but a place where they can focus and be able to not get distracted and be able to manage their brain a little bit better. So I am a component, I'm a big fan of the online program.
I'm a supporter of online programs in general. I've taken some adult education classes myself, and I have had to learn how to do that as an adult. I think it's great that the high school students will be able to do that, but I don't support that as a full platform, as a substitute for a social education that includes many other components than just technical information.
I would agree with Kim. I applaud our district for taking the steps forward for an online curriculum and for those students to be able to help them at the different ends of a spectrum, as Carrie-Anne was saying. I would think that would be an incredible advantage. The only thing I would be concerned about would be just as a parent and as a business owner, just the communication and being able to go up to somebody and look them in the eye and shake their hand and have a direct conversation. And I would just want to make sure that we are pouring into those kids as best as possible to make sure that they know how to still have that human-to-human interaction and that everything's not just online. Unfortunately, that's where our society is going, and that's where a lot of the problems are happening, because we are going in the direction of just all online, not a lot of human contact.
I support online education for many different reasons, just because it helps to serve some needs that maybe can't be met in our district by, if it's a foreign language or if it's a, advanced math class. So there are really good reasons for an online education. However, we've all been everywhere where we've seen all the kids looking at their phones and nobody's ever looking you in the eye anymore. And I don't know, I think there are kids that have mental health issues sometimes that maybe should be home, but I think that the social emotional part of school is something that you have to learn to deal with too, whether it's, even if it's, your friends are mad at you and nobody's speaking to you that day, you still have to learn, how to get along in those kind of situations. And so for me, I would not want it to be a whole program, maybe a special class or a special situation, but not for a full education.
Well, this is my first chance to go last. My eighth grade social studies teacher had three rules in class, and it was to be respectful, try your best, and do your own work. And I don't really get to do my own work here because everybody's already covered it all. But I think the online learning platform is good. Anytime our school district can be a leader in anything, I think that's great. We're a thriving community. We're a thriving school district. We should be a leader in education. And so anytime we can take the lead in something, I think that's phenomenal. It hits students on both ends of the spectrum, but like a lot of the other candidates have already stated, I want to like to see that as the end all be all. I still think it needs to be incorporated with some other aspects where students are face to face and learning the importance of personal human interaction.
Okay, we'll make this tonight's last question, and then we'll move into closing statements here. So within the agriculture education program at the high school, the district could address all four facets of STEM education in one overall program while catering to the career path, a path which does not always lead or require college attendance that seems to be desired by many IHS students. As a school board member, how would you work to further endorse and encourage STEM education, especially via the Ag Ed program?
So over the course of the discussion about the ag program, we've had the opportunity as a board to learn quite a bit about how the program is put together, how the FFA piece of it works in with the ag program. And it's a lot of opportunities that we could be providing our students. And it's a tough decision when you have to kind of pick and choose which we're going to enhance, or if we're going to have to take a class out of a different department. And so I do like the idea of kind of combining all of those together, and it will take some time to kind of restructure and be sure that we're providing the students the courses that they need for FFA, but also making sure that the full curriculum for those is challenging and has the opportunities for them that they're desiring.
I think it's important to understand that not every student is always made out to be the college kid and the college graduate. And so anytime that we can offer, I love what I think Donna talked about earlier, the Career Academy. Anytime we can offer classes to our kids, it is a great opportunity. A lot of the kids that I worked with, I was an athletic trainer at Indianola from 2005 to 2012, and a lot of those students went on to being mechanics and chefs and all that I get to run into all the time, and they just said, well, the whole college thing wasn't really for me. So I think that combining some of these classes and looking at structure and making sure that we've got the curriculum that really fits best would be a great idea, especially if we can get the STEM and the ag all working together. I think it would be an exciting board
to be on to really be able to create something like that.
Well, I love career and technical education, and the reason that is that when you look at a biology textbook, you don't necessarily get to put your hands on an animal or see a plant or eat a plant or take any care deeper than what's in the book. And that's what career and technical education does. I want to make sure, though, that we all understand that the sole intent of that program is not to produce people who don't want to go to college. Is to produce opportunities for people to make a connection and to understand and to be able to say, that's something I never knew about before, and now I have a real passion in that. And we have to be careful that we don't also dilute the rest of the ag curriculum to be generic enough that it just is a substitute for a science class, because there might be people who want to be a PhD and be a veterinarian or study world hunger. And if we don't give them a chance in high school to learn some of those highly technical things, they will not start in college at a level that some others will.
I wouldn't know a lot about the ag department. My grandfather was a farmer. I never went that route when I was going to school here in Indianola. But, you know, working with my grandparents in the summer were some incredible opportunities. When I would stay with them for a week or two at a time, I'd work with my grandmother in the hardware and then at the farm with my grandfather. And those hands-on opportunities are something that I will remember for the rest of my life. And I wish my son would be able to have those opportunities. He won't. But I think there are students that are headed towards a career out of school instead of college. And that was proven yesterday when Downing Construction hosted some individuals, including Governor Reynolds, and they showed that there's such a huge need for workers right out of high school. And I would encourage our board to look at all of those opportunities, whether it's college bound or kids going right into the fields, where they just need to get a little bit of like a journeyman's and keep moving down that way with electricians or construction workers, farmers, whoever they are.
These career centers that I'm talking about that have been created in Pella and in Jefferson, a lot of those, the one in Jefferson was driven by really one particular man in the community, and it has been a community involvement. As you probably all know, Pella has some extra money in their community with all the industry that they have there. So they do have some funding that we don't have here to offer some of the programs that they're offering. And I've had grandkids in the STEM class, not in FFA, but I know biomedical engineering is the class now, I think, for the seniors, and the in the technology part of the, I was trying to find it on my phone because I wanted to tell you the name of it, but I can't find it. Anyway, they're training all these kids to be engineers. I mean, it's all under one umbrella. And so there are places we can go that have already worked on to develop it, and maybe it won't look just like theirs. We might not have the money to do what they're doing, but anyway, it's available.
Well, I'll be honest. I don't know a lot about the ag department, but that gives me a good opportunity to tell you, as a board member, my two priorities are to listen and to seek input and information from people. I'm not the expert on everything, but I always will know how to find the expert on something. There's two phrases I'm not afraid to say, and that's I don't know and I was wrong. And trust me, I say the second one a lot to my wife. But as far as the career and technical training schools, Governor Kim Reynolds has this great initiative, Future Ready Iowa. She was in town yesterday at Downing Construction. She's really shifting the narrative from everybody has to go to college and get a college degree to there are good paying jobs out there, technical jobs for people who want them right out of high school. There's a shortage, there's high demand, and those are good jobs, and we need to shift the narrative on it. Two of our alumni from Indianola, Justin Brown and Joe Butler out of Downing Construction, were interviewed in that piece, and they both, you know, said it best. We need to shift the narrative. These are good jobs, they're good paying jobs, and we should be proud in pushing our students who want to pursue that route towards that.
Okay, so I'm a city kid who married an agriculture girl. And my father-in-law was a high school agriculture teacher for 30 years in Southwest Iowa. So I've seen for 17 years what ag ed is, what FFA is. It's bigger than agriculture. It's not just farming. It's about leadership. It's about developing kids, public speaking. It's about building our kids for the future. Agriculture is a piece of that. I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, we want to prepare our kids for options other than college, which is exactly what we can do through these programs. The question after the kids go through these programs is, do they take that next step? Do they get that credential? Future Ready Iowa with Governor Reynolds, the goal is 70% of Iowans have a degree or credential, workplace credential, by 2025, because we know that graduation is not good enough anymore. And around the state, statewide, we're not doing a great job with that conversation yet about saying, when the kids leave us, did they do that? There are a couple of school districts that are really getting innovative about a process for that. I think we can jump on board so we make sure they have the opportunity while they're here, but it transfers forward for them when they leave us as well.
Okay, we're gonna move right into our closing comments here. Each member is going to have 1 minute for those.
It's my lucky day, I don't have a question. That's what you get for moving the end of the alphabet. So last year I was given the Distinguished Public Servant Award by the Iowa Brain Injury Association, and if elected, that's exactly where my heart is a public servant to all of you guys. Your voice matters, and it matters to me, and your voice also means you give trust, and you believe in trust, and that's the one thing that I want to bring to us. I will use one litmus test when policies need to be changed or when situations come in, and I will always look at two things. One, is this decision going to keep our kids safe and give them the best possible education? And number two, do our teachers, do our staff, our associates, our bus drivers, our lunchroom staff, our front desk staff, do they feel appreciated and valued every single day they walk into school? And if the answer is no to that one, or the answer is no, our kids aren't safe, then we need to come up with a different policy. If our teachers aren't happy and our kids aren't safe, we need to come up with a different policy. Thank you.
I care a lot about our human resources. I care a lot about the finances of the school district. And I really, by training, can help a lot with the policy side of things as well. My job teaches me that there's always an ability to find a way. And even if it's not 100%, it might be 75, and then we can do the other 25 later. I think we need to take some action. And as a business person, I'm used to doing that daily. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all for coming this evening and hearing all of us. And I'm a father. I was brought up in the Indianola School District. My son is a middle school student here. And my desire is to see him receive a quality education that's going to prepare him to be a successful adult. And I want that for every single student in this district. My ears are bent towards the community. The community is who this board at Indianola Community School District Board needs to represent. We need to hear you guys and what you guys want. And that's where we get the vision of what we want the school district to be like. I've spent a lot of lunch hours now over the last probably 4 months here talking to teachers, talking to parents, and trying to listen to them and understand what's their cares, what's their concerns, what things are we doing right, what things are we doing wrong, what do we need to improve upon. And that's the way you as a board member become educated to be able to give a proper vision.
I guess the operative word for me here is listening. I think that the administration, the school board, the teachers, everyone needs to listen to the ideas, anything, that the problems, whatever's happening in this district, we need to try and work collaboratively to solve them. Instead of, we don't want it to be an us versus them. I want it to be a process where everyone sits down at the table, everyone has a voice, and everyone has an equal voice. And what happens in this district? Not from the decisions, you know, should not only come from the top down. They should be with everyone who has a stake in this community and in this district should have the opportunity to have a voice and to have that voice heard and respected. Thank you.
I just want to thank everybody again for coming out. The fact that you're here shows that you care a lot about students. I want to thank everybody willing to run for school board. The fact that you're willing to run for school board shows you care about students. That's important. What I'm going to do on the school board, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen to you guys. I know who my boss is. It's you guys. I'm going to seek input and information. I'm going to make informed decisions. And I think a school board should represent the values and beliefs of our community. And I'm going to try to do that every day in every decision that we make. We all care about kids up here. We all care about high student achievement. We want the best schools possible. But here's what I have to offer that's unique. We want safe schools. I've been in law enforcement for 15 years. I have specialized training in school safety. I teach other schools on school safety. I know what a high quality school safety plan should look like. I know what high quality school safety training looks like. I can lead the board from day one on that. I have that unique ability. I hope to get your vote on November 5th. Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. I hope you enjoyed it.
I would just echo what everyone else had said. Thank you for coming out and spending some of your time with us this evening. I believe that what I've built about myself over the years I've spent in different places is that I'm just a straight shooter. I don't play games. I tell you what I think. I'm here for the kids, and that's what drives me. I made a list of what are my values. You know, what would I bring to service on the board? Trust, respect, dialogue, distributed leadership, stewardship, integrity. And that's what would drive the decisions that I make and the conversations that I would have. I bring with me a background of experience in education. I've been teaching for a long time. I know what it's like to be in the classroom. I know what it's like to try to pull together an initiative or policy across many schools within a district. So I've seen a wide spectrum in that. And that gives me the ability at the beginning to get started on service on the board. Education is something I know well. And finally, I'd just like to say again, thank you for coming out tonight. Really appreciate the show tonight.
So I'm honest with myself, and I know that the fact that I'm a returning board member means that many of you may make your decisions based on what I have done on the board over the past 4 years. The work of the board is a work of a group of seven people through our discussions, and I always have made it my goal to be as informed as possible, ask all the questions that I can. Some of the decisions and the discussions we make aren't flashy. To save $5 million in bond savings over the course of the last four years wasn't flashy, but hey, that was $5 million that now this community is gonna save due to the work that we did. And so some of that stuff is still there to do, and we have a lot of passion for a lot of other things. And so I just ask that you maybe look at the continuity that I can provide, and we'll move forward together.
Okay, I'd like to say thank you to all of the candidates. Running for and holding public office is never easy, and just putting your names on those ballots is very brave, so thank you for that. And then I would like to thank again the Indianola Parent Teacher Organizations at Emerson, Irving, Whittier, and Wilder for helping organize this event, and to the Indianola Country Club for allowing us to use this space tonight. And just a reminder, you will cast your ballots Tuesday, November 5th, or you can go to the County Auditor's Office and vote right now. Thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight.